Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome back to Mystic Truth Radio. Today we have a really fun show all about the stars, the planets, the moon. It's stuff that I will say right up front, I really kind of know nothing about, although I do love to read my horoscope. But today we're going to find the ins and outs of astrology and numerology, and I'm really looking forward to a fun, interesting, informative show. I am Elaine Reed Cole, and I am joined by my wonderful, lovely co-host, Dana Zimmerman. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Elaine. Thank you for that introduction. Thank you for everybody who is joining us. Like Elaine says, it's going to be a great show today with Sharon Lair. So thanks for being here.
Yeah. Now, Sharon Lair is also a master coach and master trainer out of the Master Intuitive Coach Institute, right along with myself and Dana. So we've all been buds for a while. And Sharon, I have to tell you, every time I hear anything about astrology, I just want to sing, "It's the dawning of the age of Aquarius." So I think I have to broaden my mindset as far as this topic goes and really understand what it means that something is in my house. So I'm going to throw it to you, Sharon, and go ahead and say hi to everybody.
Well, hi, everybody, and Elaine and Dana, I really appreciate the opportunity today because this topic is near and dear to my heart, and I've been studying astrology. I'm probably giving my age away, but more than 40 years now. So
that's awesome.
And you know, I started out just, for me, it was a curiosity, you know, how could it be, you know, is it possible that it really could influence somebody? So, and when I started learning, I learned how to do charts by hand. I actually used an ephemeris and wrote up the chart and did the whole thing, and I actually typed everything up. Now it's so much easier because there are programs, but initially I did it as just to see how accurate this was, and it was, for me, it was uncanny how incredibly accurate it was even when I just first started out. People would say, "How did you know that about me?" And, you know, sometimes I think it might have been an intuitive hit, but it really wasn't. I was kind of reading their chart and getting intuitive hits, but it's amazing to me how accurate it is. As long as you have an accurate birth date, and that's, or birth time, I mean, that's really, without that, you can't really pinpoint everything the way you want to in transits and things, and we'll talk about that. And I loved how you said, "in my house," because I don't like critters in my house.
Yep.
I got an immediate visual of critters in my house when you said that. So we'll talk about today and talk about all of those things. But I think, first off, I think there's some really important issues, something that people hear all the time. I mean, we're talking all the time. And people who don't know much about astrology have heard about retrograde Mercury. Right, Dana?
Right.
I mean, we had talked about this before.
Absolutely. Mercury retrograde. Yep.
Yeah, and Mercury in retrograde is quite often responsible for missed appointments, miscommunication, computers and cars breaking down, things like that. But, you know, we already all know that part of it. But what's really important about Mercury retrograde or any planet in a retrograde status is basically it's time to take a step back and examine what's really important. And when it's Mercury, it's about what's important to me, internalize things. It's a wonderful opportunity to organize. It's a wonderful opportunity to clear the clutter from your house, to make way, from your real house, to make way for new things that are going to come when Mercury comes out of retrograde. So it's just an ideal opportunity for that. And I don't want Mercury retrograde to always have a black eye, because when you know they're coming, you can be prepared and you can actually take that opportunity and say, oh, this is, make an appointment with yourself to just go inward and examine what's important to you and start that clearing. And the closet you always wanted to clean out, that's your time to do it. And It's amazing when you're clearing clutter, you're also clearing your head. It's amazing, the connection there. So do you guys agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that. And one of the things, okay, so when Mercury is in retrograde, it lasts for different periods of time. So can you explain that to me?
I can. It happens about 3 times a year. And the next time it goes retrograde is actually coming up really soon. And what happens is you start to feel it even before it happens, because, let me be really clear, is that the planet's not actually moving backwards, but it appears to be moving backwards. And so what happens is it stops, it becomes stationary, so basically things come to a halt during that time, metaphorically speaking. They just kind of stop, and then it starts to move backwards, and that's when you want to move into, you know, that examination, that self-examination, that taking time to do things for yourself. The next one is actually coming up next week. It starts September 17th, and it ends on October 9th. So it's usually a 2 to 3 week period. But what's important about that is it has to, since it is technically moving back in the charts, in the in the horoscope, it's technically moving backward. As it moves forward, it's going to cross over the same path again. And when it gets to that point, now it's where it started. And then you have that shadow period in there even after October 9th. There's going to be a shadow period until it actually gets back where it started. And that's not really going to be till almost the end of October. So you're going to feel it for a long time. And this new one that's coming up is in Libra. And so
Sharon, just a question quick before we get into the Libra thing. I'm trying to get a visual of what you're talking about Mercury moving backward in the chart. What exactly does that look like? What does that mean?
Well, if you were to look at this sign, so I think it starts out, I think 15 degrees. So it starts out at 15 degrees. But as it moves retrograde, it's going to go to 14 degrees, then it's going to go to 13 degrees of Libra, and then it is actually going to go all the way back to 0 degrees, and then it's going to start forward again.
So are we talking about degrees of a circle? Instead of going clockwise, it starts going counterclockwise? Is that what it looks like?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Having never really seen a chart and what a retrograde looks like and moves like, I didn't recognize that. I was trying to get a visual on it. So there is a period, there's a phase before and after, like you were speaking, that are called the shadow periods. Is that correct?
Well, the shadow period's actually when it goes direct, but it's still not where it started. So in this case, it's going to start moving backward, if you will, or retrograde, at 15 degrees Libra, and it's going to move all the way to 0 degrees, and then it's going to start coming forward again when it comes out of retrograde. But the shadow period is between the 0 degrees and the 15 degrees where it started moving backward, if you will.
Okay, and when it reaches 15 degrees, that's what you mean again. When it reaches the 15 degrees again, that's what you mean by it going direct?
Once it comes out of retrograde, then it starts moving forward again. So
yeah.
it retrograde actually stops on the 9th, October 9th, but you have that shadow period where it's still crossing over degrees that it had basically moved backward. So it's going forward now over those same degrees until it gets to 15 degrees, which is where it started.
So it's kind of like again, the aftershock.
I'm wondering about
of an earthquake.
Yeah, kind of like that.
Kind of.
So,
okay.
Even though it ends on the 9th, I'm sure you've been through retrograde periods where you've said, oh, my gosh, it feels like it's never going to end. I thought it was already over.
Half the time, Sharon, I try to close my eyes to it because I just know things are going to go awry. You know, there's generally always this computer conflict that I wind up getting into. And, you know, because of the work that I do, I'm on the computer all the time. So it's things like that that wind up just, everybody take a deep sigh. Mercury is retrograde. And, yeah, it just happens. Technical stuff. We've had technical difficulties here on Mystic Truth Radio where just for no reason whatsoever, things have gone awry. So I really like the spin that you put on it, that it is a time to go inward and reflect and take time. You know, don't buy that house that you think you are going to buy.
Take time
looking a little bit more. You know, I hear you shouldn't sign big contracts and things like that during that time period. Now, you know, is that really good advice? Like, what would you say to that? No big decisions.
I think that's absolutely true. The other thing about that is kind of what we talked about is the fact that if you do, you'll have to revisit it at some point because of the forward motion. So if you sign a contract or you particularly buy a big thing like a car or a house, you're going to have to revisit it. You may change your mind later that it wasn't the right car for you or it's not in the right neighborhood or there's some issue that you didn't know about that was hidden.
Is this due to the nature of the energy of Mercury itself, like being a trickster planet, or what is that all about? Why do these things occur with Mercury going backward in the chart?
Well, that's absolutely true. What you said is Mercury is a trickster, and Mercury is really all about communications. It actually rules the third house, which you had talked about earlier, Elaine. The third house is about communication. It's also about siblings and neighbors, coincidentally. But when it comes to communications, computers, things like that, that is ruled by Mercury in a third house. So if it involves communication and Mercury is retrograde, you can expect that there are issues or things that you're going to miss, things that you didn't see or won't see. So that's when you want to, if you are looking at a contract and you can avoid it, make sure you read it very thoroughly and you understand it completely because it is ruled by communication, both written and verbal. Make sure you understand where you're supposed to meet people. Double check. It's wonderful that you have cell phones now that we all can communicate that way because we can quickly double check. But when Mercury is retrograde, sometimes for unknown reasons, the phone doesn't work or they don't get the message for some reason. They're out in cyberspace. So those kinds of things do happen, and it's really good. I can give you a perfect example. When I was much younger, I was going to meet a friend for lunch, and I completely forgot about the appointment. And even when she called to tell me, you know, I was on the phone with her like, oh, hi, how are you? You know, long time. It was so bad. I had no recollection that I had even made the appointment. And this was really before computers and stuff like that, and I didn't have an appointment. But I had a pretty decent memory. I could, you know, but I didn't. And even when she called me and said, "Hi, Sharon, this is Marty,"
it didn't click.
How are you? Yep. What's up? She said, "Well, I could be better. I was supposed to meet you for lunch today." And then it was like, oh, my gosh. That was Mercury retrograde at its best. You either miss your appointment, you don't write it down, you forget. You think it's in one place, really in another. So you just really want to take the time to make sure that you understand where you two are meeting, or three, or where the meeting is, and what time. And it
now,
doesn't hurt
this,
the date.
This brings up a question that is like bouncing around in my head, because if it has that kind of an effect on us during that time period, what about the child that is born during that time period? Does that affect them?
You're talking to one. So, for me,
that's funny.
It's a life theme. It becomes it happens for me all the time. So when Mercury actually goes retrograde, a lot of times I'm actually really comfortable with that because I'm used to it. I live it.
Right.
I live it every day. I know I need to double-check things and be ready. It's really, until you actually surrender to it, it's really hard because you think, things seems so much more difficult. You just can't, I'm learning a new computer thing or something, and it's so much more difficult because it fails or it doesn't work. It just locks up because there's all this energy. But for me, retrograde Mercury is actually, it's like homecoming.
Home, yep.
You live it every day.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
I had it. Yes, it does affect you. It's a lifetime thing. You kind of get used to it, especially if you know that you have it. And in my case, it's stationary. It was getting ready to come out of retrograde. So it's probably not as bad, but I am very used to it. So, yes, it does affect children. That's a great question.
It does affect. So a parent actually kind of needs to, well, if they are aware of astrology at all, kind of needs to bear that in mind when they're going through perhaps the whole, even potty training or, learning the alphabet or something, that they just might run into a glitch with it. But that doesn't mean that it's like a mental handicap or anything like that. It's just, you have to be present. You have to be on top of it. Is that right?
That's very true. I think that's one of the reasons I became so interested in astrology, is I felt like if there was something to it, that I might actually be able to help people understand themselves and their loved ones better, particularly their children. And I really want to do more charts for children for their parents so it will help them raise them. I think it's a wonderful gift to give to a new parent or a grandparent so they can share if they're open to that. Now, some people aren't very open to that even now, but I think it's so critical to understand that you have two children, three children, however many you have, you can't raise them all the same because they're all different. And it doesn't mean you've done something wrong. It means that they're all different people with different personalities and different needs and different ways of communicating. And if you understand that, what a better world that would be if we could speak to people at their level and teach them at their level.
Well, I do have to say, Sharon, that it has reflected upon your life because, again, I told you that Dana and I both know Sharon, and Sharon is one of the best note takers ever. She pays attention to detail because she probably, from a very young age, found that that works for her, just detail, detail, detail. And, I love that about you. I love organization. I think that's great. So, that's just one shining place in your life that kind of came out of the fact that you are a Mercury retrograde baby. I never knew that. How very interesting.
It is, actually, and it has made for a very interesting life. It's like, I'm always in that, did I just understand that? And, you know, so I've gotten better. Before, when I was so young, I was really shy, too. That came with it also. I didn't really like to speak up. I didn't really like to say things. But now I've gotten so much better at asking for clarification. You know, this is what I think I heard. Did you really say that? Because, you know, then I can address it. But if, no, that's not what I meant at all, I might hear that. Or, yeah, that's exactly what I meant. So it's really important, even as part of communication, to kind of give people feedback so they know what you heard. Because just because we said it or wrote it doesn't mean they read it the way or heard it the way we intended it.
Correct.
So that's
now,
another thing.
Dana, would you like to give a little shout-out to any guests that we might have on the line if they have any questions or...
Yeah, let's do that in just a second, and I want to let everybody know that the call-in number too, which is 914-219-0867, 914-219-0867, or if you're joining us in Blog Talk Radio, you can go to our chat room and join us there. And yeah, we can bring a couple people on here in a second. Sharon, you were going to touch on Mercury and Libra, and I don't want to spend the whole time on Mercury retrograde, because I kind of like to get into that Saturn piece as well. But what's the deal with Mercury and Libra?
Well, Mercury, when it does go retrograde, is going to be in Libra. So I think one of the really important things is for people out there who are considering any kind of work on your body or makeovers, it's not the best time to do that. Just hold off and do that. Just love the body and love who you are right now and go internal and love yourself. I think that's really important because Libra is
all about... So what does the energy of Libra bring to the Mercury retrograde? Is that loving yourself and loving your body?
Well, Libra is really about beauty and grace and charm and diplomacy and partnership. So those are all of the things. And when it goes retrograde in Libra, those are the things that will become the focus of Libra retrograde. So it's not a good time to, like, do a makeover for your body, those kinds of things. It is a really good opportunity to really be more diplomatic, to really take the time to share partnerships, but also to reevaluate what's important to you. Because Libra is really about, and Venus rules Libra, but it's really about what's important.
Wonderful. Huh. That's good to hear. Thank you. All right, so why don't we bring on a live caller here, and then maybe we can talk a little bit more.
Well, how about they raise their hand? So if they have a question... Then
I don't think
they
the
just,
function is working, Elaine. I don't think it is, because I tried it out myself.
Yeah? Well, anybody, just go ahead if you want to. You can try pressing 1. That is supposed to raise your hand. So, but if you don't press 1. Okay, nope, it actually worked there. So
okay,
we do
great.
Have somebody. Yep, we do have someone here. So your last 4 digits are 3708. So we're going to unmute you now. Hello, you are unmuted.
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Mystic Truth Radio. Who are we speaking with?
Sue Montalbano.
Hi, Sue.
Hello,
how are
Sue.
You?
How are you, ladies?
Great. Nice
Excellent.
To hear from you.
Yeah, nice to hear from you, yes.
So what question do you have for Sharon today?
Well, I know my, you know, date of birth and the time and everything, and I know since 2003 I've been, you know, I changed careers, and I'm still, you know, navigating to find out, you know, what I wanted to do this in this new chapter of my life, you know, regarding my career. So I was just wondering, with my chart, if you can give me any insight or just continue on my path of just, you know, taking classes and learning until something really clicks.
Well, I think it would really help to have your information.
Okay. Are you ready or?
Yeah, hold on just a second. I want to get
great.
My cell phone so I can do it on my cell phone. Okay. So how long have you been in this change? How many years?
Oh, since 2003.
2003. So
I mean, 2013. I'm sorry. 2013, that's what I meant to say, not three. No, that would be really bad. No, 2013. That was good. No, 2013.
All right. And so the birthplace?
Oceanside, New York.
Got to find it on here, Oceanside, New York. And what's the date and time?
5/9/66. That's my date of birth. May 9th, 1966. And the time was 9:57 p.m.
Well, Sue, you were keeping your mom awake.
Yes. Yes. Okay, 9:57 p.m. on May 1966 in Oceanside, New York.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Oh, my. You have a very interesting chart.
Oh.
What do you know anything about your chart? Have you ever had a chart done?
Yes, a very long time ago, but I'm just thinking. I know it's the 12 houses, that type of. It
right,
was such
yes.
a long time. I don't remember anything really about it.
Okay. Well, this is a good opportunity to really talk about, you know, how you look at a horoscope. And there are 12 houses, and I'm looking at Sue's, and she has a Sagittarian rising at 13 degrees. So you are all about freedom. You like fun. You like people. You like justice. Justice is important to you. And knowing and learning. So that explains
yeah.
why you're learning. And your sun is in your fifth house, so, and it's conjunct Mars, which is they're together, and Mars is all about movement and it's masculine energy, and it's conjunct your sun, which means they're together, and your sun and Mars in the fifth house, you like to party, you like to have a good time,
mm-hmm.
and you like theater, you like drama, you like and you like children. They're fun for you.
Well, yeah. I have two teenagers. I don't know if I am having fun, but it's good. It's good. It's good. I'm grateful, but it's a lot of work. But, yeah, I've been told I like a lot of kids. I've been
mm-hmm.
told that in the past, and it's interesting because I'm really not a kid person. Like, I don't really like to, when I go out to dinner, I don't like to sit near kids. Like if I'm by a pool, I don't like to be near kids. They're loud and they're just overwhelming for me. Even though I have two kids, but then I'm told it doesn't mean I don't like kids. I do enjoy kids, but I definitely enjoy my time away from them. Does that make sense? Like I have friends that could be around their kids 24 hours. I can't. Like I look forward to 9:30. They're up in bed and it's my time.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So sometimes I think maybe I'm really not a kid person, but that doesn't mean that. So.
Yeah. Well, I think you have a real interest in the arts, like drama. And do you like movies? Do you like to go to the movies?
I love the movies. I can go to the movies every single day. I love the movies.
Yeah. So that shows in your fifth house because you have a lot of energy in your fifth house with your sun and your Mars. So it would be like that would be something you would be really attracted to. And one of the things that I always look at as we move through, we have the first house, and that's who you are and what people see, and that's who you present to the world. That's how you look. And basically, you're kind of a live and let live person, and that's how you appear to be.
Mm-hmm.
And justice is important to you. And then you move into the second house, and the second house is about values and money and how, and your moon happens to be in your second house in your chart. So it's important for you to have nice things. It's important for you to be gracious, and you expect people to respect and have social graces when you're around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You
That's
want them
true.
To behave because it's ruled by Capricorn. So you expect good behavior.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true, yeah.
Okay, and your third house is all of, we talked earlier about this, it's about communications, and the third house also is about siblings, but primarily communications, and it's ruled by Aquarius in your chart, and you have two planets there, and one of them is Saturn, and the other is Chiron, and they are together, what we call conjunct, together. So you have a really heavy influence there. And Chiron's a very important planet to me as an astrologer. I always look at Chiron as the deepest wounding. That's where the wounds come from. When people really hurt you by saying things, if they say sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me, that is not true for you. It's very hurtful for you. If people say things that hurt you.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that is true.
And you really take it to heart.
Yeah.
So Chiron is one of the things I focus on when I coach people and I work with people. It's where's the wounding and what can we do about that? How do we get
right.
out of it?
Right.
You know? And you have Saturn in there, so you're a serious communicator. It's very important for you to state how you feel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And sometimes you feel like you can't. There are times when you feel like you can't really express of what it is you have to say. Does that resonate with you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. And the fourth house is all about home and family. And and you have two planets there. So you have, you have Venus there. And an asteroid, but you have Venus in the fourth house, so you love your home. You love being at home, and that's where that time to yourself comes from. You love being there.
Yes, that is true. Yeah.
And to you, that's it. If you didn't have to go out, that'd be okay. And if you could work out of your home, you would do that.
Yeah. I haven't figured it out yet, but yes.
Mm-hmm. And then you move into the fifth house, and the fifth house is all about creativity and what we talked about earlier, about movies, about drama, it's about entertainment, it's about having fun. And you actually have a rather crowded fifth house, so you do like to have a good time. And you have Mercury in your fifth house along with Mars and your Sun. So we already talked about how you like movies. Are you interested in writing at all?
I would love to write. I'm just not that good. You know, that's just not my thing. I like to talk. I'm better at communicating, like, you know, more verbal.
Okay.
But I would love to write. That was one of my, you know, new chapters in my life, like learning how to write and to communicate in, maybe in magazines or online. But, yeah, I would love to write, but that's not one of my strengths.
Mm-hmm. Well, it certainly could be, and if you're learning on things like that. But, you know, even it's a communication thing. So Mercury is about communication. So whether it's painting or writing or talking, it's really good, and it's a wonderful opportunity for you to reach other people, and you would make it fun. It wouldn't be boring with you. You would make it fun.
Right.
Yeah, you would. And so the sixth house is all about work. And we're talking about day-to-day activities. It's work. It also rules animals. So, you know, like dogs and cats and pets. So your sixth house is where your north node is. And the nodes are all about karma. It's like, why am I here this time? So you're actually here to work, to do day-to-day kind of things, to help people. And do you work with animals at all?
Yes. Yes, I do.
That's
yeah, I work
great.
With animals.
Are you involved with horses at all?
Am I involved with what?
Horses at all?
No, not horses. Actually, no, not horses, but I volunteer at a shelter. I help people in the community that can't afford animals, their cats or dogs. Really, I focus on dogs now, but I grew up with cats. But
right.
I work at, I volunteer at a shelter, and I do adoption because my history, I'm a psychotherapist, so I help them with, you know, finding the right people for the right animal, you know, the right dog. And
yeah.
I also help with cats, too, but not as much as dogs. And I have three dogs, so I love animals. Yeah, I don't know, really know anything about horses, but.
Well, the only reason I ask is that a lot of times with the Sagittarius rising is that a lot of Sagittarians are really connected to horses, but that doesn't necessarily mean you would be, but I was curious about that because the sixth house does actually rule the work as well as animals. So you're actually really fulfilling your destiny by working there.
Oh, should I be, would that give me an indication if I should do that as a career? Like, because I do go there, but I volunteer. I don't get, you know, it's not a paying job, but I am getting more and more involved. But is that something that I should maybe pursue as this new chapter in my life for my chart?
I think it's definitely there. Let's finish looking at the whole chart. I'm going to look at your 10th house as well, and we'll get up to that soon. So we'll come back to that question. But let's move on to the 7th house, and your 7th house is all about partnerships. It's your life partner. It's your work partnerships. It's partnerships. And you actually have Jupiter in your seventh house. So that would indicate multiple partners, either marriage partners or business partners, but you like variety. And once again, this is all about justice. This is about study. So you like learning, and you like learning from different people.
That's 110% true. It's so true. I love to learn. Actually, if that was a job, I would do it. Like a career, I would do. No, I'm not kidding. I love to learn. I know. I love to learn. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's incredible because with that in your, and you would want a partner who would teach you and be fun. You would not want somebody who would restrict you in any way. You need to be supported, whether it's a partner and a life partner. It doesn't matter. You need to know that they got your back, that they support you.
Right. That's true.
So,
all
we'll
right.
move on to
so do you think that answered your original question, Sue?
Oh, okay. So was that it, Sharon?
No, I'm okay.
Oh, well, we have somebody else on the line, too, who has their hand up. So, yeah, we should probably move on to the next.
Well, let me just answer your question. When you look at the career, you want to look at the 10th house and the 10th house for you is Libra ruled. So it kind of goes back to what doing what you love. It's really about doing what you love and loving what you do. And that goes back to the 4th house. So it would be very good for you to pursue something where you can actually work out of your home. And studying is good, and writing and blogging and talking to people, doing stuff like that would be very good for you. But, yes, I would continue to study because that's your lifeblood.
Okay, so I'm just going to go over, you know, quick with what you're saying. So the 10th house is Libra ruled, meaning that it goes back to the 4th house. It's something to do with communication, like writing, blogging or anything, and working out of the house. And continue to take classes? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, because that's your lifeblood. You love learning, but your Venus rules Libra, and your 10th house is Libra ruled. So Venus is in your 4th house. So that's where that comes from. And then you just kind of move on to what makes you happy, and that's the next 5th house. But if you want to PM me, we can carry on this conversation.
Okay.
Privately.
Now, let me throw 2 cents worth in. It's just something to mull around in your mind there a little bit. But because of the animals and because of the communication and all this in your house, I think, why not take a look at animal communication and learn
that? Funny. Wait, who's talking
this
right now?
This is Elaine.
Dana? Oh,
this
Elaine.
Is Elaine.
Oh, okay, Elaine. Actually, I'm taking Danielle McKinnon's online just for 3 weeks.
Perfect.
Okay,
perfect.
Thank you.
I think your work is going to come out of that area.
Oh
that's
my God.
That's your missing link. And Sharon just pointed it all out, and God, you're on the right track. Good girl.
Thank you, ladies.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was awesome.
Thank you so much.
All right. You are so welcome.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right. Now, before we actually answer the next caller, Dana, you had asked something else of Sharon. God, going back, you wanted to know about
Saturn. Because I do think it's really important that we cover this today because it's going to impact everybody and has been. And if there was something else, Dana, let me know. But we wanted to talk about Saturn retrograde. It is actually coming up.
Okay, can you mention that?
Yep. Now, Saturn is moving. I said Saturn retrograde, but it was retrograde earlier in the year, like in March, and then it finally came out in the August time frame. And it's moving from Scorpio, which is a very intense sign. Scorpio is all about intensity, and Scorpio is ruled by Pluto, so it's about digging up, digging underneath, getting things that are out. So Saturn is all about responsibility, restriction, and it's been in a very intensive planet or planetary, it's had this ruler for a number of years now. Saturn stays in each sign for about 2 years, and it's been an intense Scorpio. And next week, it's coming out of Scorpio, and it's moving in to Sagittarius. And Sagittarius is all about what we really just talked about with Sue. It's all about justice and equality for people and fun-loving, and it's really a jovial sign. So it's passing the baton to something where we might actually see some things. But I think one of the important things is we're in the middle right now of a humanitarian crisis of epic proportions. I mean, just look at what's in Europe. And you're going to see more of that, but there's going to be to use Bush's word, maybe a kinder, gentler way of dealing with those types of things like immigration and stuff like that. But it will be about justice and making sure that people have what they need. So I think that it's going to be a big change. I think it's going to be huge, and we've needed it because Scorpio is so intense. Pluto is so intense. And the other thing that I think is important to mention is the fact that we just finished this year. This year is all about authenticity, people becoming who they're meant to be so they can help the world become what they're meant to be, what the world is meant to be, and we can shine our lights in the world. And we just finished in March the last square of Pluto and Uranus. And Pluto, again, is about intensity. It's about digging things up. Uranus is all about surprise. You know, all of these, I'm here, jumping out at you and changing things.
Uh-huh.
So we've witnessed the last several years of things that were hidden are coming out in the open. People who were lying before are getting caught. People who are not authentic. It's coming out that they're not authentic. It's showing whatever was buried is going to come out. Whatever good works people did, and that's part of Saturn as well, that's coming up. People are being rewarded for the good things that they did, and people are being exposed for the bad things that have occurred. I mean, you see it every day in the news that police are being prosecuted because they've abused their authority. It's happening. It will continue to happen, but that's part of the planetary changes.
So it's like authentic truth.
It is. It truly is. And, you know, there are a number of astrologers who have said the same thing this year, and it's the same recurring theme. And you have Uranus, and it's the great surpriser. It's like everything's happening, but it's all about authenticity, being
authenticity.
Who you're meant to be, and finding out who you're meant to be this year.
Okay, so how does something like that actually sway what's going on politically within this country right now? We've got all these, and, you know, we don't want to get heavy duty into politics, but, you know, we've got some different people who are running that I just shake my head and go, really? And then, on the other hand, we've got the Pope, who just is trying to change things left and right, and I think authentically he's very much a nice person. So is this kind of the polarity type thing that we're going to see as we come out of this period?
I believe so. Yeah, I believe so. But I think you're going to see more authenticity and people really stepping up to make a difference and make the world a better place. And people who don't have that really, if that's not really their agenda, I think things are going to happen to expose that because we are moving into this and it is time for people to truly shine their light. And it's not about a me kind of thing. This is about let's all work together to accomplish what we need to achieve. I mean, the world
is
really...
Oh, my God. I love that. Goosebumps up and down my arms. Like,
yeah,
I can't wait.
Yeah, that's fantastic, really, because Pluto has been keeping a lot of that hidden agenda really under wraps and not out in the open. And that's what I've heard, too, is that, you know, in this transit into Sagittarius now, which is much more positive and, like you said, authentic, Sharon, the people that have these hidden agendas that aren't authentic aren't going to be able to keep them from being revealed anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the other thing about Sagittarius, one of the things that you love or you hate, depending on, because I have a Sagittarian moon, and I had to be really careful because Sagittarians tend to blurt out what they think. They don't stop to think about it. You know, Sagittarius is that cartoon with the open mouth and insert foot, you know, that's the person who walks up to somebody as sincere as can be and says, when is the baby due? And, you know, they mean it, they're sincere, but they're not pregnant. So,
God, I did that.
That's a Sagittarian thing all the way.
I love hearing that, Sharon, too, because I'm really on the cusp of Sagittarius being born on the first day of Capricorn, and I recognize that tendency in myself. I'm always sincere about it, but I can really blurt out something that's on my mind that people are like, what?
Right.
Yeah. Oh,
and it's not meant with malice or anything, you know. It's just like it was on my mind, so I asked it. But then it can come out as blunt.
Right.
I get that.
I know you have somebody waiting, but I did want to also mention, just quickly you mentioned, because we did say we were going to talk about it, but I do think it's also important to talk about the love planets. Everybody wants to know what's happening with that and stuff. And the planets rule love, if you will, are basically Venus and Mars, and that's really all about, you know, that male-female, you see the signs that are male-female, which are really the signs for Venus and Mars. But it's a little more than that, because a true relationship, you really want Saturn in there as well, because Saturn's about responsibility. And if there's a lovely connection between Jupiter, that is about having your back and supporting and really loving and cherishing one another. So that's a really good connection for a love connection between Venus and Mars. It's great because it makes for great sparks. And but the other is make it a really long-term thing. And I will say that Uranus, if Uranus is involved in any way, that's, once again, that's sudden. But Uranus is probably the number one reason that there is love at first sight. It's, you know, it's that instantaneous attraction.
Instant.
You don't know what it is. It's just you're drawn to this person, good, bad, or whatever. It's instantaneous, but it's, if there's no other connection in the chart, it's over just as quickly as it starts. If there are other connections, it can stay there. And the other thing about Uranus is could be long distance. It could be, you know, you're together for a little while and then one of them travels, you know. So it's not always bad that they're separate or not together.
Mm-hmm.
But if Uranus is involved, there's some sort of separation or uncertainty there, because you never know what's going to happen with Uranus. But it's not only the love at first sight, but it's also the what was I thinking?
So
the next day is like, what? What was I doing? What was I thinking? Or the next week or the next month? The other planet that comes into play with that is Neptune. Because if there's a Neptune transit, things seem dreamy and wonderful. And once that transit is passed, it's like, I don't even know what I saw in that person. I can't even imagine. So
right.
Those are the things that come into play with that. The planets, what's love have in store? Those are all the ones that we look at.
So if somebody has a question about, you know, this potential person, this potential partner, and they have their, you know, date, time, all that, all the information that you need, can you actually compare the charts for them and say this is a good match, or, you know, let's say this might be a bit more work than what you're looking for?
I do that all the time with clients.
Mm-hmm.
It's very important. Most people want to know that. The other planets and other connections that are very, very important when it comes to attraction are any connection between one person's sun and the other's moon or ascendant. It's a very powerful connection. It's a very powerful attraction, and they understand one another. So the sun and moon also come into play. If you're ever, you know, some people say, well, that really doesn't fit with me, but a person might have, say, a Sagittarian moon and be very attracted to a Sagittarian, just a Sagittarian, somebody born in December, or late November. So it becomes this, you are attracted to them. It's not your sun sign so much. It's just that you have this tremendous attraction between the moon and the sun, or the sun and the moon. So.
Okay. Okay. So everybody out there who's wondering, and they need some advice on their love life, Sharon's good at that too.
I, I am. I help people all the time. Yeah.
That's awesome.
I've helped people clarify what their goals are and what they're looking for in a partner and what their needs are instead of looking at people. One of the things that we always look at in a chart and is where the planets are. As you look at it, and it's on paper, if everything's on the right side, then it's really a person who's about other people. If most of the planets are on the left side, that's a person who kind of goes their own way. And they'll find a partner, but it's not like other people rule their lives. It's not like every decision they make, they have to think of somebody else. So that's another thing that we look at, too, when we're looking at charts.
Okay. Well, we were just going to answer the other caller, but obviously they probably had to get back to work or something, so they have dropped since then. So we don't have to rush on anything right now. We have, like another 5 minutes or so. So, after hearing all that, I think I'm going to send my daughter your way.
Okay.
And let her find out what is a compatible match. That would be nice. So that she can just begin to look for, the right thing. Honestly, we've talked in many shows about the dating game, and boy, I would not want to play that game. But I think if you're well-armed with information, you can actually really begin to clarify what it is that you want and what it is that you actually need, not just want,
Right, that's the other piece of that is that master training coaching that we've had comes in. It's so wonderful for helping people look at the landscape of what is a relationship or what, so you can really help them focus on their goals and what they need. So often people are willing to settle for Mr. Right Now or Ms. Right Now whoever is at the moment, but it's really about what do you need in order to be and to be the best person you can be. You want somebody where you both bring out the best in each other instead of some toxic relationship where you bring out the worst in each other.
Correct. Sometimes people get intrigued by the person who challenges them all the time. And you know what? That's okay to a certain extent, but that's going to get tiring. It's really nice if you can complement each other.
Right, exactly. Yeah, some people actually like that. They thrive on it. And that's something they need in their life. But most people don't.
Right, exactly. Again, after a while, because that'll get your adrenaline going for a while. But after that, oh, my God, you're just going to find you are drained dry.
Exhausted.
So, yes. Now, Sharon, you actually did my chart. Can you actually give some highlights of me? This is Elaine for our listeners. Highlights of me, of what you actually pulled out of it. Just kind of a quick, Elaine, this is you, bullet points.
Okay. Well,
I love that
that's
laugh.
That's what I wanted to ask the call, just to make sure you actually have a chart, what we were talking about a few minutes ago. Most of your planets are on the right side of your chart. So, interestingly enough, your Moon and your Mars are not, and they're in opposition to a number of planets in your seventh house of all places, which is where your Venus and your Jupiter and your Pluto are in your seventh house. So you were at odds. It took you a while to settle down, and you had a tendency, particularly when you were younger, to you did not want anybody getting in your way emotionally or anything else. You knew what you wanted, and you when you know what you want, you go after it.
It's still true. No.
And you're Chiron, which is the deep wounding, that's actually in your 12th house. And the 12th house is secret enemies, and it's undoing, and it's in opposition to Uranus, and that's in the 6th house. So six houses work. So for you, your deep wounding has really come from people you worked with have really hurt you in some way, or jobs that you've worked at have really caused deep pain for you. And it came out of the blue. Like, where did that come from? I had no idea. Even secret enemies. It's also like hospitals and things like that, you know. So
yep. That's kind of that's
hidden.
Also true.
Right. Just out of
also
the blue.
True.
Yep. Where did that come from? And
yep.
There's a really good aspect between Chiron and your Mercury. So you are the wounded healer. You can and do help people heal.
Oh, that's what I do. That is what I do. I love that. See, this so amazes me because, again, it's like, you know, you took Elaine and all her pieces and put it in a hat and pulled each piece out and, yep, that fits, yep, that fits, yep, that fits. And I just find it so fascinating, even though I'm still not totally understanding the house. But if we had the chart in front of us, then it's all sectioned off like a piece of pie, right? And that's where you get the different houses, the first house, the seventh house. The
exactly.
Correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
and I'm
going to
go over to Dana so we can just a quick one on Dana. But
oh,
Dana
great.
Does have Sagittarius rising. So, and her Saturn, Sun and Venus are all in the first house. So you're a very integrous person, and you expect other people to be integrous, and you are all about wanting justice for the world. That's really important for you. And they're all very well aspected with Pluto, and Pluto is in your ninth house of higher learning. And even courts and justice and laws, so they're all very well aspected to that. So that is where you shine. You like to help people with that. And your Chiron is in your second house, and that's where values are and money. And for you, the deep wounding has been money. And it's like out of the blue. It could be partner's money. It could be something like that because you have Uranus in your eighth house, which is other people's money. But it's something that's where your wounding comes from. It's your values. Your values have been attacked.
Yeah, that's interesting. My values have been attacked. Are you saying in regards to money?
Well, the second house is about values. It's about money. It's about possessions. It's about things like that. So quite often when there is something in there, it's a loss. It could be a financial loss, but it could also be values because it's what you value.
Right. Yeah. That's interesting. Makes a lot of sense.
And your moon and Mars, one of the things about your chart is what we were just talking about, a lot of your planets are on the left side of the chart. So you're not as encumbered by what other people think. You tend to move to do what is right. You do have, however, your moon and your Mars on the right side as well as Pluto and Uranus. So you're not without. You do consider what other people's feelings, but really you're more about, okay, let's just move forward and get it done. That's funny.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
That's wonderful.
Well,
thank you.
You know, this has been like so much fun, Sharon. So much fun. I think we could still learn an awful lot from you as far as how this all works. I'm hoping that we gave some of the basics to people. I still have no clue as to how to read charts and all that. Is that something else that you do, Sharon, is that you can actually teach someone how to actually do charts, read charts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
I did.
Of course you can. Well, with this, this longevity of experience, I think, yeah, you're a wellspring of information here, and you do know how to break it down and make it simple. So I really appreciate that. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you, Sharon, how do they do that?
Okay. I will do that. I'll mention that in a minute, but I did want to say that, Christine Park and I have done a lot of comparisons because she studied under Robert Ojado and I've studied under other people. Both love astrology and we're both into that. And Christine and I are thinking about writing a book together and maybe doing a course. So if anybody does want to get in touch with me, I can be found at findyourwisdom.com or Sharon at findyourwisdom. And I'm also on Skype at Sharon.Lair, L-A-I-R, 2. So I can be reached in any of those. I'd love to hear from you. So this was really fun. This was great.
It was a whole lot of fun. A whole lot
Very
of fun.
Very much.
And we'll do it again in the future, Sharon.
Okay. I look forward to it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you to all of our listeners and for those who had called in, and sorry about not getting to some who called in. And, it's an awful lot to fit into our around an hour show. So, again, we'll do it again because we like to talk about such things and we like to inform people. So this is Elaine Reed Cole for Mystic Truth Radio. And, I'm all out about having fun and learning. So you can find me also at www.thewingedmystic.com. I'm also on Facebook. And you can also go on to our new website, which is www.mystictruth.net. And Dana, how can people reach you?
www.danazimmerman.com or find me on Facebook.
Perfect. All right. So, again, thanks to everybody, and until next week, let's keep talking about it. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.